I just want to say how privileged I am to be here tonight. I know you've got Easter camp next weekend, and Jason is the guest speaker. I was 2 weeks ago with Jason and his crew on the Gold Coast, and he's just a great speaker. So if you haven't signed up for Easter camp, if there's still room, I don't know, but make sure you do. He's a great guy, and the Spirit of God speaks through him, so you're in for a treat. I want to pray again, and I want to pray quite specifically that the Holy Spirit will come in this place tonight. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come now, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would come in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know, when I was young, I had one kind of superhero in life. I used to run home from school and I wanted to turn on my little black and white TV. We got our first TV when I was seven. We didn't have, well, it wasn't HD or colour or anything like that. But I had my superhero, and he was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. He was able to leap tall buildings, well, you know, 10 stories high anyway, with a single bound. It's a bird, it's a plane. It's Superman. You know, it's kind of interesting because I had one where there's so many now. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe alone, you've got Iron Man, you've got Thor with his hammer, you've got Doctor Strange, and my favourite, my absolute favourite, is Captain America. You know, I look into the mirror and I see Captain America before he took the serum. I love Captain America. And now we got Captain Marvel. We got a superhero who's a woman. How cool's that? In the United States, I noticed that she's selling fruit. Like, She's the hero for the diet stuff, you know. Feed that inner superhero. So you get a pineapple and her face is on the front of it. It's really cool. You get a banana, she's on it. Captain Marvel. But, you know, I'm asking myself this question. Why are we so obsessed with superheroes? And these superheroes all kind of belong in a kind of parallel universe. And they go from this world into the other universe or universes all the time. But why are we so obsessed with superheroes? And then tell you why. Because deep down, every single person knows that they need one. They need a superhero. You're here tonight, and I don't know what you believe or don't believe, but I've never met anybody who didn't, at the heart of it, deep down, know that they needed a saviour. And we in this place are able to say confidently that we have a saviour. His name is Jesus. And you know, deep down we know that there's an alternative reality. There is a parallel universe. People in the Western world, they try and convince us all the time that the only reality is the material reality, the physical reality. You'll have teachers at school, you'll have politicians, you'll have professors who try and explain to you that the only real stuff is that which is empirically, scientifically provable. The leader globally in the movement against Christianity, which is Professor Richard Dawkins, is always trying to explain to people that there's no spiritual reality. The only thing that matters is the what you can scientifically prove. He wrote to his own 10-year-old daughter a long letter explaining to her that the only thing that she should believe in life is the scientifically empirical fact. I wanted to ask him something. I wanted to say, Professor Dawkins, do you love your daughter? And you know, I have no doubt that he does. And the next question would be this. How do you scientifically and empirically prove love? Unless you reduce it to some kind of scientific chemical reaction in the brain. And if that's all it is, and there are people you hear who will tell you that, they're trying to reduce it, and it's not the kind of love that those of us who know Jesus know so well. I want to tell you tonight that there is an alternative reality. I love that great scene and with Dr. Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch. You know, this guy's a brilliant surgeon. And he's a guy who's absolutely inebriated with science until he has an accident and he needs help. And he goes to a woman who becomes known as the Ancient One. And she says to him, "You're looking as brilliant as you are, as intelligent and smart as you are, you're looking at life through this little keyhole." And she says to him, "You need to open your mind." And I want to say to you tonight that what we proclaim and represent in this place isn't anything other than encouraging you to see, to open your mind to what reality is. And I want to tell you, the reality, the alternative reality, isn't something conjured up in a special effects studio with billions of dollars so a whole lot of elite people can make money. The reality is spiritual reality. In Joel chapter 2 in the Bible, hundreds of years before Jesus, God speaks through the prophet and he says the day will come when the Holy Spirit will cover every little millimeter of the earth. I will pour out my spirit on women and men, young and old, and they will know me and they will walk with me and they will serve me and love me and they will love what I've created. Next weekend, we remember on Good Friday that Jesus died on a cross. And then on Easter Sunday that he rose from the dead. But that wasn't the end of the story. Because the next bit is, it gets more exciting, because Jesus, after his resurrection in Acts chapter 1 in the Bible, Luke says he comes back to his disciples, his group of disciples, and he says to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that God has promised, the precious Holy Spirit." Wait for the Holy Spirit. Now I want to ask you, what is this Holy Spirit that I'm talking about? You know, 2 weeks ago it was God. Last week we talked about Jesus. What is the Holy Spirit? I want to explain it to you. First is this. The Holy Spirit is the presence, the reality and presence of God in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. Jesus said, when he was on earth in John 14, he said, "The Holy Spirit will come to you." And listen to this. He will be with you forever. Forever. Always. And this is the thing. The Holy Spirit, when you come openly to God, the Holy Spirit comes to you and never leaves. You are never alone. When I was 5 years old, my father took me to the Wayville Showgrounds, to the Royal Show. And I mean, the first time I'd ever been there, this is one of my first memories of my life that I can remember back to. And there was this kind of aisle and there were show bags all along there and all along there. I was in heaven. And I'm holding my dad's hand. I remember this as clear as that. I was holding my dad's hand and we were walking through Showbag Alley, and I was kind of just totally absorbed. I want that one. I want that. I want 20. The more the better. And as I was immersed in this, I suddenly realized that I wasn't holding my Father's hand. And I sort of had this awful anxiety and fear because I suddenly felt alone. I couldn't see him anywhere. And I looked here and he just wasn't there. And I remember the feeling of anxiety and the inner sort of grief and pain just in those few moments. And suddenly the show bags didn't matter at all. I just wanted my Father. Eventually I found him, and I'll never forget reaching up and holding his loving hand again. I want to tell you something. When you got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus with you, and he never, ever, ever, ever lets you go. Do you know what I want to tell you tonight? Because some of you are here tonight and you feel alone. And you'd say to me, if I said that to you, say, well, no, I've got lots of friends and I do this and I do that. But you know that deep down there's an inner loneliness. And I knew what that was because I, as about at the age of many of you, was sitting there knowing that until I found at the age of 17 the beautiful, wonderful Lord Jesus and was filled with his Spirit. The Spirit never lets you go. The Holy Spirit is the presence, not the body of Jesus, because he rose from the dead. But it is the presence of God in Jesus, and he's always there. He's with us always. He's in us always. Paul says in Romans 5, that God's love is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The love is always there. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, he said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That word baptized means immersed. The day will come when you will just know the Holy Spirit. I tell you, what I'm preaching tonight is not religion. What you get tonight and what you sing to here is not about religion. It's about a God who loves you enough to send the Holy Spirit into your life and fill you with that love. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus, and he's here tonight. And I know he's here. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is the power of God in Christ. He's the presence and he's the power. In verse 8 of Acts 1, Jesus goes on and he says to the disciples, you will receive dunamis. That's the Greek word, and it comes from the word dynamite. It's the root word for dynamite. The power of God is explosive. It's not this tame thing that you think it is sometimes. And God knows we need power in our lives. We need power to be who God created us to be. If you're trying to be a Christian in your own strength, you understand this. You can't be a Christian. It's not just hard to be a Christian, it's impossible in your own strength. But the Holy Spirit is the power of God. And that Holy Spirit helps us to live the way that God calls us to live. Now, just as there are lonely people, there are powerless people in this world. Do you know most bullies are people who have a profound sense of powerlessness? Most people who bully, either physically or bully online, are people who don't feel like they have any power. We were created to be people of power, but they feel powerless. And so what they do is they have to exert their power over somebody. If you've ever wondered at school if you got that person who's like that, they're like it for a reason. They feel powerless. It's no excuse, and it never an excuse. But they are powerless. When the Holy Spirit comes, he gives us the power to live. 2 Corinthians 3 says, the Spirit, listen, the Spirit gives life. You want to know life? You know what it is to really live? Be filled with the Spirit. I believe in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. I've been doing what I'm doing tonight for 45 years. And I've seen just amazing things. And they could only have happened by the Spirit of God. I remember, 30 years ago, a group of us, probably getting on towards 30 years, but a small group of us, about eight, stood right here in a circle. And there were just eight of us, like, you know. And we said, Lord, we got this little youth group of eight. Do something with us, God. Please fill this auditorium with young people. And we for the next few years, we just watched it happen. That's why I love coming here. Thanks, Matt, for inviting me. I've raised the age, average age, just a little bit, but hey, I'm just glad to be here. Are you glad to be here tonight? Come on. God does supernatural things. You know, I was speaking at a youth group, and this was a youth group of kids, mostly not Christians, that were there because they kind of had to be. They're like young teenagers. And I was the speaker, and there was one kid there called Michael. And he just kind of, I don't know what was going on, but he was standing against me. He was speaking as I was speaking and annoying the people next to him, carrying on, you know, and making life hard. And it was like they didn't have a lot of songs or anything. They just did games and stuff, and I was supposed to give three or four of these kind of inputs. And I'd done two, and I thought, oh, God, this is hard work. It's not like tonight. I love being here. But if in case you didn't notice, but it was really hard work. But something happened. I don't know how to exactly explain this, but I'm talking, I can remember it. I was talking about the prodigal son. It's a story from the Bible. And, you know, my usual attitude is that God needs to wait until I've finished before stuff happens. Yeah? So I was up to point two. And as I was speaking, suddenly the door of this hall flew open. And this wind kind of just blew in. And I'm looking at these young people, and I'm supposed to be moving on to point three, and I'm kind of thinking, what's going on? Because their faces were filled with kind of, what's going on? And I didn't know what to do. I was supposed to be the mature speaker and preacher and that. And I thought, something's going on here. Anyway, I said, look, let's not wait to the end. If you want to come to Jesus, you want to give your life to Jesus, do it right now. Just get on your knees where you are. Don't even come to the front. Just do it. And they all dropped on their knees. And there was one young fella, Brian, and he was kind of, you know, he had a bit of a disability and he struggled with stuff. But I'll never forget him. He's got his arms over his head. He's like, God, if you're there, I hope everyone's feeling what I'm feeling right now. And Michael got saved. Gave his life to Jesus. He became a Pentecostal pastor in Queensland. Listen. Hey. I'd like to say it's because I preach so well. But what happened was the Holy Spirit. I've seen the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit. I've seen people released from the demonic oppressions. I've seen people filled with the Spirit. I've seen people healed. I've seen people transformed. That's the Holy Spirit, folks. And that same Holy Spirit is here right now. And if you're saying, I don't know about this stuff, or this stuff frightens me, you don't have to be scared, because the beautiful, wonderful Holy Spirit of God is here to meet every single need you ever have. If you've got a broken relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you don't get on with your parents, or you don't know where the next finances are going to come from, or you're failing at school, I'll tell you, the only thing ultimately that you need is the power of Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. God, I pray. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. Number three. Listen to this. Jesus still in Acts 1 talking to disciples, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, God, I pray that it come on you tonight. You will be, he says, my witnesses. Now, listen. The Holy Spirit is the purpose of God in Jesus Christ. And the purpose that the Holy Spirit comes to you isn't to make you get spiritual goosebumps or feel good about yourself or feel like you're better than anybody else. The Holy Spirit comes because God wants you to become a witness of His majesty. He wants you to become a witness of the kingdom. You know, Jesus Christ walked this earth. That's an indisputable fact. You can get the best atheist historian and they'll have to acknowledge that Jesus walked this earth. And as he walked this earth, he performed amazing things. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. He changed people's lives. He offered people forgiveness and they were forgiven. He released people from bondage and slavery and oppression. And when it was done, he comes to his disciples and he sits with them and he says, listen to what he says. It's John 14, 12. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do, listen to this, even greater things. Did you hear that? Even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. See, he died on a cross, he rose from the dead, and then after Acts 1, he rose to be with God at the right hand of God on the throne of grace, but he left and poured out his Holy Spirit. And through that Holy Spirit, we can do amazing things. Let me tell you something. When Jesus said that, he was talking to 11 uneducated disciples. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were tax cheats. One of them was 15 years old. And he says to them, 11, you'll do greater things than even I have done. I don't know how many are in this room. I think there's probably 100. And that's 10 times or so as many of those. And I want to say to you tonight, when you talk excess, and I remember when we came up with that name, two of us went away and prayed about it, and we came back with the same verse with John 10:10. How about that? There's the Holy Spirit again. And I remember the two of us came together so excited and we said, this is it. We want every single young person who walks into this place to know life and life to its fullness. Oh, I pray that for you. We weren't called into this world to do nothing, to occupy space. I want to say to you, you're not here because you're some kind of accident. You came to this world because God called you into this world. And I reckon you're here tonight because God called you to be here tonight because he's got an appointment with you. He wants to speak to you tonight. And already he's saying stuff to some of us. And so you can sort of push that away or you can just trust it and receive it and know that you're in a beautiful company of people who will love you through every change in your life. That's life. I was told in primary school, year six, I was rummaging around in my we got a cellar at home. And my parents died and they left stuff in a case and I thought I'd better go through it. And I was rummaging around in this case and I found my year six report card. It was on a bit of paper that was used to be white and now is kind of looks like something from the museum. And I remembered the report because I didn't have a fun time in school. But the teacher's opening words in that report were these. And I've still got it. Craig is a disappointment. And get this. And I mean, to be honest, I understand a little bit of why she said that. And the next line was to my parents. And I'm sure that Craig is a disappointment to you too. That were the opening two lines. I've got it there. I read it sometimes. And you know, I read it because a couple of reasons. I saw myself as a disappointment for years. For years. I felt like a disappointment to my teachers, to my parents, and to God. And then I met Jesus. And the Holy Spirit came into my life and said, "You are not a disappointment. You're a child of God. You're not a disappointment." If you told me way back then that I'd be standing in front of a beautiful lot of people like you, I'd thought, that's ridiculous. But somehow God uses the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God uses people like you and me. Whatever your background, whatever your pain, whatever your difficulty, whatever your relationships, the Holy Spirit can come into your heart and make something of your life. I'm coming to a finish. Let me say that. I was in Uganda a couple of years ago. Uganda, I was in the slums of Kampala, and I was involved in training over 1,000 pastors. And the reason why is this. There's a revival going on. People getting filled with the Spirit. And they don't have time to say, "Well, you know, you're an intelligent sort of person. You should go away for 6 years and study how to be a leader in the church." They haven't got time to do that. They're just getting people born again all over the place, filled with the Spirit. And so what they say is, okay, we're all filled with the Spirit. We're going to change the world. Who's going to lead us? Oh, you'll do it. Okay, he's the pastor. Now get some training. And that's when I come in through. And I mean, while I was there, I saw amazing things. But there was this, it wasn't the pastors that impressed me most. It was this kid called Samuel. And this kid called Samuel, he was 13 years old and he was in year six. And he got up 5 o'clock every morning. 5 o'clock. And he had his vegetable patch and he would tend his vegetables. And the reason why he grew vegetables was that his parents didn't have any money. They couldn't send him to school. And so he'd take his vegetables and walk and go to the highway. And he'd sit on the highway with his vegetables and hope some car came past and bought something. And that was the money that was putting him through school himself at the age of 13. And then he'd go 5 miles, about 8 kilometres, to school to be there by 9 o'clock or whatever. Now, it's not unusual to have a 13-year-old in year six in Kampala because the disease that's ravaged the teenage population is malaria. And he lost 2 years of his schooling because of malaria. It's not even unusual for a kid, if he's going to go to school, to actually somehow find the money himself. It's not even unusual for a kid to walk 8 kilometres to school. But what was unusual in Samuel's life was this. In that 2 years that he got malaria, he lost his legs below the knee. And that 8 kilometres he was getting to school was on the stumps of his legs. If you were to ask Samuel, "How do you do that? Why do you do that?" He would say, "Because God's called me to be a teacher and he's filled me with his Spirit and I want to make a difference to other people's lives." This is the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Won't you stand with me now? I want you to stand with me. And I'm going to ask and I pray that same prayer again. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. You know, one of the questions you might have in your minds, it's something like this. How can I have the Holy Spirit? How can I live that kind of life? You might be standing thinking you're a nobody, you're a disappointment. Well, Peter says in Acts chapter 2, he says, repent. Repent simply means this. You were walking this way, to a whole lot of rubbish and garbage, and you've made a decision, nah, had it with that. I've had it with the pornography. I've had it with the dumb things, the dumb stuff. I've had it with hate. I'm not going to hate anymore. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to turn. That's what repent means. And I'm going to turn to walk towards God the Father. And I'm going to embrace His Son, Jesus. And I'm going to pray, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. I want to ask you to do something tonight. Because I'm imagining myself in your place as a, I don't know, 14, 15-year-old. And to be honest, I wasn't in a place like this back then. But if I was back there and I had heard this stuff at that age, I know what I would have done. I would have embraced everything God has for me. And I want to tell you, now that I look back on my life more than I look forward age-wise, the greatest decision I ever made, this kid of disappointment, this skinny kid who was a nobody, best thing I ever did was say yes to Jesus. And I want to say to you tonight, you can do that right now. Can we move this away? Thank you. Because there's those of us here tonight who know we want that. And I'm going to ask you to step out of your chairs. And I'm going to ask you to come down the front. And I want to pray for you. Not as this old bloke up the front, or even as a preacher, but as a friend. Is that all right? How many of you want the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life tonight? You may be a Christian and you've been trying so hard and you just feel like you just turn every corner and fail. Come and be filled with the Spirit of God. It might be the bravest thing you've ever done, but would you step out of your seat tonight, because you can come to the front. Some of you came to mosh and dance, and that's brilliant. Now's the time to come and say, the stuff we've been singing, we want for real. Would you do that now? Come now, don't wait. Just step out. Right now. Don't hold back. Come right up here. Come, Lord Jesus. We're seeing the movement of the Holy Spirit in this place right now. Some of you sit there thinking, how is God real? Well, He's real. He's right here now. This is you, don't hesitate. Some of you think, well, what will people think about me? Who cares? Who cares? I want to get right with God. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And I want that now for my life. Amen. That's why you come. Now in Jesus' name. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, can I just ask if there are group leaders back there or people who are Christians, you want to pray for someone who's come forward, feel free to come in behind them now and just lay a hand gently on their shoulder. That'll be for some and not for others. But I want to pray for every single person here. And as I see you, I see some of you, you know, that word disappointment, it's something you know. Because you've been disappointed. Some of you are standing here now, and you've been disappointed in yourselves. Some of you are disappointed in parents. I don't know, just as I pray, I'm just feeling the anguish of some of you because you've had parents split up or walk away. And you kind of hide that, and you find it hard to deal with, and you carry it. But I want to tell you, God can come to you right now and fill you with His Holy Spirit and a love that's beyond what any parent could ever give you. Some of you know you've sinned, and you know you've looked at stuff and the bad stuff, and you've done the bad stuff, and you've had feelings of hate and jealousy and envy, and you struggle with that, and you wish you didn't have those emotions. God can deal with that right now. You can be free from that right now, because the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, forgives. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for every single person out the front here right now, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon them in the name of Jesus. And you would fill every one of them with your Holy Spirit. Just receive that now. Just know that the Spirit is real and coming upon you. When you begin to feel the peace of God, when you begin to feel that something's going on, don't fight it, let it come. Come, Lord Jesus. We're going to sing now, and as we do, just stay here and just believe and know that you're in the throne of grace, and God is here just loving you, filling you with His love, pouring His Holy Spirit upon you. Let's sing together.